Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 1 and verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Luke. When the law enforcement officers and detectives listened to the testimony of the eyewitnesses, they expected that this testimony would be different in some ways, even if the two people standing right next to each other. The reason is that because of what they see and what they how they process, it is different. If the two people or more, their testimony is identical, and they say, oh, you guys are lying. That's a given. Many Christians, as well as the unbelievers, wonder, why do we have four Gospels of Jesus Christ? Couldn't God make it in one and make it simple? For a couple of reasons. Number one, each author gives us according to their unique perspectives, and which together provides a deeper and more comprehensive portrait of Jesus Christ. Let's say quarterback is throwing a ball, and wide receiver is running to end zone, and he is throwing the ball deep. Corkscrew ball is going all the way to there. That's the one thing. From the 50-yard line, you see that. From here to over there. But second camera is from the reverse angle behind the quarterback. And taking a photo, video from that angle. And another camera is in the end zone. And you see the quarterback way behind and wide receiver coming, running the sideline. All of a sudden, he veered to the right, left, and then coming to the end zone and catching the ball over him, of course, one hand. And then the fourth camera is above. You know, one of those with wire going back and forth? And it follows the quarterback backing off and throwing the ball and going diagonally and then wide receiver coming, catching it. What does that give you? You get the complete picture. Am I making sense? That's what it is. So it gives us deeper perspective. Second reason is each gospel talks a different talk to the different audience with the different objectives in their mind. The ancient Christian writer from the second century, his name is Origen, he said this. I like the way he said, there are not four gospels. It's a one fourfold gospel. Very wise. Here's a quick list of the four Gospels, distinctives of the four Gospels. Number one, the Gospel of Matthew, writing to the Jews, was interested in establishing the regal rights of Jesus as the King of Jews. In doing so, he traced the genealogies of Jesus back to David and Abraham through his earthly father, Joseph. By doing so, he set forth the Christ as the Redeemer, the King of Israel, the Messiah promised to the forefathers of Jews. Making sense? The Gospel of Mark, writing to a practical mind, Romans, was interested in capturing those snapshots of Jesus that showed him as a servant. Consequently, we don't see the genealogy of Jesus because to the servant, genealogy is not important because they never had it. And yet Mark had his eyes on the activities of Jesus, and which would appeal to the Romans, and this is the first gospel that was written. And you will notice as we study the gospel of Mark, it's a fast moving. There's only 16 chapters. It's very concise. Book of Luke, Gospel of Luke. Writing to a Greek audience was focused on the Jesus' humanity to Luke, a Gentile Christian doctor, traced Christ's genealogy all the way back to Adam through his earthly mother, Mary. Throughout his account, Luke pictured the Son of Man as a kinsman redeemer of the entire human race. Now, the Book of John, the Gospel of John, writing to the timeless and universal audience, John stressed the deity of Jesus Christ. Note that word. That is very important. The deity of Jesus Christ. And his unique relationship with God the Father. With that in mind, we'll start at the chapter 1 of the book of Luke, and we will pray. Father, your word is ever true. Your word is timeless. Your word is priceless. Father, people in the 21st century try to ignore your word. Well, actually, they've been doing this from the day one. But your word prevailed. Your word stayed true. And it speaks to our heart through Holy Spirit. So we are asking you to do the same thing to us this morning. Let not man speak, but the Holy Spirit speak to us. Let us have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit speak to us. We're asking anointing to be upon our heart and anointing to be upon the one who speak. And please forgive his sins, for his sins are many. Father, we pray for our sister Kim Davis, who is in jail for the name of Jesus Christ. She has more guts to take this in our hands than many pastors would. Father, we are asking you to protect her and through her, your name to be lifted up high above. And praying for President Obama and all the leaders of our nations. Father, we are asking you to speak to them. If they don't know you as a Savior and Lord, whatever it takes for them to come to know Christ. We also pray for our troops, whether they are abroad or in at home, you protect them. We also lift up the law enforcement personnel and firefighters. You protect them and give them safety as they protect our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 1 of Luke. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word that delivered them to us. It seems good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Stop there, please. According to biblical scholars who are good at Greek language, they said that Dr. Luke wrote this portion in very academical and scholarly Greek language, but not the rest of them. Rest of them, he switched to the street Greek language, which is known as the Koine Greek. You know, this is my personal opinion. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the rest of people. I think Dr. Luke should be an attorney, a lawyer. Because in four verses, I have no idea what he's trying to say. It's just a lot of words. You know how the lawyers get paid by the words or letters. So there's when you look at the contract, it's a blah, 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 20 pages. Sorry. We have a lawyer here. She will yell at me later. You know, I could summarize these four verses in four words. It's all true, Theo. That's it. Right? That's about it. You know, Dr. Luke was not one of those disciples who was an eyewitness of the ministry of Jesus Christ from the beginning. Yet, in a way, the way he wrote was from the first-hand experience. Like Matthew and Mark. Because Luke's account was based on diligent research with a scientific mind as a doctor and a complete understanding of Jesus' life on earth. And more than anything, he was what? inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we'll start this time in chapter 1 of book of John. Remember, it's the harmony of Jesus Christ, so we're going to go back and forth. Chapter 1, verse 1 in John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Stop there. As you read this verse, you cannot deny the connection with the one verse somewhere in the Bible. Where would that be? Genesis 1:1. Go to there, please. All the way to Genesis 1:1. You guys know this by heart. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, note that word. It's the same three-letter words in English. In the beginning, right? In the beginning, in Genesis, start with the creation of God. Did you notice that God was not created? He was there when the moment of the time start of that word beginning. However, the beginning of the John 1:1 go way back when the eternal God alone existed. Time was not there because time was not created by God yet. And there was no one in the eternity past. Are you with me on this? This is not the same in the beginning. I don't blame unbelievers for the lack of their understanding when it comes to the truth of God in the Bible. Because they simply cannot comprehend the fact that God can be above and beyond our time limits. We have 24 hours and 1440 minutes. And we try to get the things that crammed in as much as we can. By end of day, we are exhausted. We start all over again next morning. Within that 24-hour timeline, we try to get the things done, but to God, who is above that timeline, to Him, past, present, and future, He can see them all at once. He doesn't even have to look from one direction to another direction. He just sees them all. It is no wonder Apostle Peter said, to God, one day is like a thousand years like one day. To be exact. So unbelievers cannot simply comprehend the fact that God can be above and beyond. Besides, without the Holy Spirit's help, God's truth in the Bible is a foolishness to them. Keep your finger on John, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. If you're not a born-again Christian, right here, this is for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man, that means unbelievers, natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually what? Discerned. In other words, they don't have what it takes to understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, the one who teach us and explain to us in our heart. Apostle John introduced Jesus as the Word, or in Greek word, Logos. This word, as the Apostle revealed to us, was with God, face to face, in eternity past. Yet beyond our comprehension, this Word was not only with God, the Father, but was God. Does it mean this Bible is God? No, that's not what it means. The Word itself representing Jesus Christ. Jesus was not simply the revealer of God, the Father. He revealed, and God Himself revealed. Just in case you may wonder with a question like this, what do you mean Jesus is the revealer of God? Where do you find it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long? He's speaking to one of the disciples. Yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has what? Seen me has seen who? The Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? As I have mentioned many times to you, that all the cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Every single cult denied the deity of Jesus Christ. But simple sentence, this simple sentence from the John 1:1, hushed them all. Jehovah's Witnesses say that there is only one God. Have you ever heard that? They said, well, Jehovah is the only one God. There's no other God. But in their own Bible translation, New World Translation, they deny that fact. They go against their own doctrine. Let me show you. Put that thing up, please. In the New World Translation, in the beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God. And the Word was... Okay, so tell me. Since they said only one God, correct? And now all of a sudden they have little G God. Which one is it? Make up your mind. And they cannot answer. So they come up with another doctrine. The claim of the Jehovah's Witness people defending their translation, John 1:1, is that because before the second time God is used in the passage, no article appeared since it is written capital G, God, and not the God. Are you with me on that? In answer to this approach, Greek grammar and the translation, we can only refer to the multitude of other New Testament where capital G God appears without the article. All right, so we will go through these verses. And their translation is with the Jehovah. So they are not backing their own theology. It seems that their grammatical rules only apply when it suits the purpose of the backing up their heretical doctrine belief of Jehovah's Witnesses. In Greek text on Matthew 5:9, 6:24, Luke 1:35, and it's all in your sermon notes, so I'm going to just read it to you. In 1:75, John 1:6, 1:12, and 1:13, and 1:18, Romans 1:7, and 1:17, shows how the Jehovah's Witness translate the exact same grammar for capital G God as their Jehovah instead of a little G God. Am I making sense? Are you with me? Because what I'm saying is, if their translation in John 1:1 is right, they have to be consistent, but they are not. They just change it. On top of all, they use supposedly two Greek scholars who support their doctrine. And they say in the Kingdom Interlinear, they quote the two well-known Greek authorities to make who appeared with them and agree with them. The problem with that is that first Greek scholar they quote, is his name is Dr. Julius Robert Manti, and he's a well-known Greek scholar, and he said, I was misquoted, I didn't even support their theology. He wrote them a letter to the Watchtower Society and said, please take my name off, I didn't say that to you. And the second guy Johannes Graeber. Johannes Graeber is not a Greek scholar. Actually, he is an occult practicing spiritist. So what are they supporting? Nothing. All right, go to verse 2, please. Here was in the beginning, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, without him. Nothing was made that was made. This is so good. Two very important things we must notice. Number one, Christ himself was not created. Did you get that? He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, that is Jesus Christ. Second point, all things were created by Christ without an exception. God the Father was the architect, and God the Son was a primary agent to create the entire universe. Supporting scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, please. Chapter 8, verse 6. Yet for us there is what? One God, God the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, and through whom are all things, and through whom we live. In other words, again, we learn this thing from the Colossians chapter 1. He is the one who created us, and he consistently holds us together. All right, go down to verse 4 of chapter 1 in John, please. Thus we see light and darkness. In him, that is Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Stop there again. The Word is the source of life, source of all life. And the ancient Greek word that translates life here is Zoe. I know our English word for the woman's name is Zoe, but in Greek word is Zoe, which means life principle, not bios, which is biological life. This life is the light of man, and speaking the spiritual life as well as natural light, spiritual light as well as a natural light. It isn't that the word contained life and light. Rather, he, Jesus Christ, is life and light. It means that without Jesus, we are spiritually dead and in darkness. We are lost without him. Get this, guys. I said this before, but I'm going to say this again. The true definition of darkness is the absence of what? Light. See, a single candlelight can be seen as far as 14 miles. A simple candlelight overcomes any darkness. You put the candle right here, and in 28-mile radius, people will see it. If we are in darkness, the first thing we will see is that light. Soon as there is a light, it overcomes darkness. The darker the darkness is, the brighter the light is. Since man has a natural born fear of death and darkness, he tends to grasp for any kind of assurance, even if he had to generate one by himself and fool himself. That's the basis for any cult, any religion. Are you with me? You start to make your own religion, and it's start to say, that's not how I interpret the Bible. Guess what? You just studied a cult. In verse 5, Apostle John speaks of the darkness, which is the people of the world. The light and darkness are a recurring theme of the book of John. And God is light, and while the Satan is the power of darkness. I'm sure some of you immediately remember the first John. God is light, in him there's no darkness at all. You see, people love that they're either light or darkness, and this love controls their actions. Go down to John chapter 3, please. Flip a couple pages in from the John. John chapter 3, verse 19. This explains so well. And this is the condemnation. And the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? Evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds and should be exposed. Stop there. Let me ask you. People who hate God, they naturally... Oh, no, let me rephrase that. People who practice ungodly things, they hate God and they hate Christianity, they hate Bible. Don't they? That's why they are so much against Christianity. There's one faith that denounced by everyone in America, all the unbelievers, Christianity. They embrace Muslims. They embrace Islam. They embrace just about anything and everything with the exception of Christianity. Oh, they will embrace pastors like Joel Osteen because he does not say anything against sin. Continue in verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, but his deed may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. You know the gay couples, three couples who wanted to get married in that county by the with Kim Davis County? They could go another county, get the marriage license if they want to. But they chose to come to that county clerk with the media just to make a point, just to destroy this woman's life. You know, that federal judge who put her in the jail and the Supreme Court justice, they are not the ultimate judge. They will all face the ultimate judge, Jesus Christ, on the last day. There won't be a slick attorney who will find a loophole. They will be busy bowing down to Jesus Christ. Amen. You would think that many blind sinners would welcome the light. But such is not always the case. The coming of the true light brought the conflict in them because the power of darkness within their heart opposed it. They'd rather make fun of the gospel and truth of God in the Bible since they choose not to comprehend by their own choice. Did you get that? Underline it, circle it. Yes, it's their own choice. So that they can continue in their carnal lifestyle. Are you with me on that? Their own choice. It's not God is rejecting them. They are rejecting God. Whenever God, Jesus taught a spiritual truth, the majority of his listeners interpreted it in the material and the physical way. The light of God was unable to penetrate the darkness because they were hiding behind, so they don't have to face the spiritual light. And they were hiding behind a spiritual dungeon so that they didn't have to hear the truth. Right now, some of you might be hiding behind your own spiritual dungeon. I don't know where you are. I hope you all are born-again Christian. If you don't understand the meaning of a born-again Christian, then most likely you are not born again. You are not God is not rejecting you. You are rejecting his invitation. The Word of God, the Bible says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So anyone who wants to come to Christ, he said, give him a right to become his children. You cannot deny his invitation. You cannot deny his love. Only way you can deny is denying that he is the Lord and Savior, and you are responsible for that denial. He is the light of the world in this dark world. You make your own choice. It does not matter how many times you've been baptized. It does not matter how many times you've been coming to church. Someday you're going to face him and you are given an account for this moment, and you will confess that whether you like it or not, Jesus Christ is Lord. Because the Word of God said, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Three applications. You might be thinking, isn't that a little harsh? No, it's not. I'm just speaking the truth. If someone chooses not to believe the truth of God, it doesn't mean that it does not exist. Are you with me? It only means that the person does not get the benefit of knowing the truth and he or she will be eternally lost. Second application, God's word is still speaking. All we have to do is listen to him through the Bible. Third application, Jesus gives life more abundantly to those who diligently seek him. So seek him every day. Amen.